It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
And let me tell you that word that you're so anxiously wanting to hear, if you just missed it, is check. Check's in the mail. C-H-E-C-K. Check. Text it to 95819. 95819. All the rules at KMJNow.com. And, you know, please don't drive and text at the same time. All right? Got it? Check. 95819. $100. If you pick up that, you've qualified for the $25,000. Well, here's a gentleman that I would have to say to him, we can't go on meeting like this, because he was just on last week on a different issue, and he's from the city council, and it's kind of a subject near and dear to me back in the day. Street racing. Luis Chavez joins us again on KMJ. Luis, are you a car freak?
I am a car fanatic. I mean, I as you probably know, my dad's a mechanic, so I grew up around, you know, cars in the shop. I think I learned how to drive when I was 9. And would pull in the car shop. So, yes, that's an understatement for me.
Well, we've had this spate of racing lately in Fresno. And apparently that big accident that happened at Palm and Bullard back late in the year, I think it was in December, resulted from street racing. And I wasn't aware of that. That took the lives of 4 people. I was aware of the accident. But I guess maybe I forgot or didn't know that was, you know, the product of street racing. And when we talk about street racing in Fresno, as it is now, where and what are we talking about, sir?
We're talking about, obviously, the illegal activity that goes on. And as you know, my colleague, Councilmember Carbasi, has really been on top of this. And over on Herndon and, you know, Northwest, they have what's called these sideshows of, you know, young folks with muscle cars that, you know, a lot of these young kids haven't been behind the wheel a while, and they get a performance car and they don't know how to handle it, and we end up with tragedy. So, you know, we're working on really trying to address that long term, and it's that old conversation, Ray. If you recall, back in the 90s, you know, our folks over at Turner Auto Wrecking were going to build a track, and they had full permits, and then that didn't happen, and as a result, we've been having this conversation for over 2 decades. Where Fresno really needs its own track. The only closest track we have here is Formoso Raceway and a couple of tracks in Kings County and Sacramento, but it's time. Fresno really needs to have this and provide a safe and, you know, friendly, family-friendly place where folks can come out. And as I like to joke, you can come out and see how slow your car really is, and hopefully that'll deter you from trying to race on the street.
Well, that's going to be tough finding some property where we can do this. First of all, we don't want it. If we've sanctioned something in the way of legal racing, we don't want to be doing it in the middle of the city. That probably wouldn't be too healthy for neighbors and all that. Where would we do something like this, Luis? You know, lawful racing. You got any ideas?
So interesting development that happened over the weekend. You know, I spoke to Mayor Dyer, and he, and as you know, you recall, he had this idea back in the 2000s on really building a racetrack out there where our police officers train for high-speed pursuits over on Central and Hayes. And so there's some land available that's right next to it. We'd have the infrastructure ready to go. And so we're going to be moving in that direction. So I'm working with the mayor. And, you know, funny story, the mayor told me at the time that back when he was police chief, he said, you know, if I'm mayor one day, I'm going to make that happen. And so we're all reminding him that he's the mayor now. So
so it's time to make it happen.
Exactly. But it's needed. It's needed, Ray.
What about using the fairgrounds?
Fairgrounds actually had a really interesting setup with more along the lines of you know, smaller compact cars that were drifting. They had a, you know, make way a racetrack there, and they would rent it out on the weekends. I think that works too. But if we have a facility that can, you know, really cover both those options, and then also a drag strip with, you know, the racing tree and everything in the stands, and I think we can make a really great, you know, regional attraction for the city that we know will bring in dollars as well, and at the same time provide a safe venue for a lot of our young folks that, you know, want to show off their cars. I think that's about as American as you can get, right? A young guy that wants to show off his muscle car, and now we can have a safe place to do that. So that's the goal, really, to bring that to fruition here in the city of Fresno.
By the way, I should have asked you when we started this up, how did your little event at 11:30 go this morning with the cruise?
Oh, that was great, man. We had a number of car clubs that showed up. I think this is the first time that we've had lowriders, hot rods, trucks, being welcomed in City Hall. We had them lined up right in front of the water fountain, and, it was a really great event. So we're looking at kicking that off the first week of May. We'll have the Cruising for Peace procession that will originate in Southeast Fresno like it did back in the days, go on to Fulton Street, cruise the main, and then end up at Chicxulub Park, where we're going to invite all our food vendors to come out and, have the community support them and obviously make sure that we do it in a safe, kid-friendly, family-friendly manner.
That'll be nice. But as we know, those of us that are car people, lowriders don't race their cars, though. They like to show them off, but they don't race. So we're talking two different types of, car freaks here, aren't we? But, if we had property, easily you could do both with, you could race, you could have one area just to do a show and shine and all that, and I think it'd be great. And who would pay for this, I wonder?
Well, the city is actually sponsoring this event just like we did in the 90s, and it's like they say, everything comes full circle. If you recall, the Autorama we used to have at Selen Arena, the legend of Blackie Jajian that, really coordinate that in his car, the shish kebab. And I mean, we're trying to bring all of those generations together, because you're right? There's a trend where, a lot of the older folks like the hot rods, the classic cars, the low riders. Then we have the truck class. Then we also have the more performance vehicles and the speed freaks, so to speak. So we're trying to accommodate all of those niche markets, and I think Fresno's ready for that. I mean, we have a population of over, close to 560,000 people now, and we don't have a racetrack. I mean, that's pretty embarrassing. So we're going to work to make that happen.
Wow. Let's grab a phone call or two on the subject of racing, see what the John Q. Public has to say about it. Mark, you're on KMJ. Go for it. Hi.
Hey, Ray.
Hey.
Glad to hear you guys. I think the main thing everybody's forgetting here is liability. I have a 72 Chevelle Pro Street that runs about 10 seconds and a quarter mile. And we race at Bakersfield, 5 races a summer, American Nostalgia Racing Association. Bakersfield has some days where it's called Red List Group races, where you can bring your factory cars, Mustangs, that type of stuff down there, and race them. As long as they don't go over a certain speed, you can race them with their factory safety equipment. But as far as starting a track, I've been in racing since I was about 16, and I'm 62. And the tracks are not being built. They're being taken away. And it's not just environmental. It's a major factor is liability. And if you're thinking you're just going to go out and rope off a little two-lane road somewhere and have some drag racing, think again. It is so expensive. If you go online to Famoso Track Rental and look and see what, they'll break down the numbers of what it costs, and it would blow your mind. And without liability insurance, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, well, I think what the councilman is talking about is far beyond, just a dirt road and a couple of people going yeehaw with a half bottle of whiskey. So I think it's a bit more, technical, and it will be expensive, Luis. I mean, no doubt it's going to be expensive. And that goes back to the question, who's going to pay for it? If we're talking about building a facility or whatever you want to call it, that's going to be an expensive deal.
Yeah, and the caller is 100% right. I mean, I used to go down to Famoso, and he's right. They had nights that were specifically, allocated for just factory equipment, folks that wanted to come down and test their car. And we've got some interest already, some private folks that want to fund this endeavor. And so I'm anticipating a public-private partnership, because we know that this will be a regional attraction. And if we build it right, it'll also attract an economic multiplier effect here to our local economy. And that really is the goal, to provide this amenity for not just the residents of Fresno, but, you know, folks that live in the surrounding areas. And that location that, you know, the mayor referenced over on Central and Hayes, I think that'd be a great location. There's not residential areas near. It's away from all the traffic, and we'd be able to, you know, do something nice out there. But the caller hit the nail on the head. It's not just setting up, you know, concrete slab and, you know, racing tree, and then we're good to go. No, we got to make sure that all the precautions are there, the liability, the exposure. And that's why when you go down to any racetrack, you know, you sign a waiver, and you sign forms, and you have your own insurance coverage of, yeah, you know, what that could potentially be. And that's really what we're trying to replicate. If somebody can do it like Famoso, then Fresno can do that as well.
Jim, you're next on KMJ. Go for it.
Well, there's not a...
Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, when I was in college, we had there was an Air Force base that was near us. And what they would do is, it was not really being used, and they would partition off part of a runway and part of a taxiway and make sort of a loop. And about once a month, we'd go out there on a Saturday, and they would, you'd go one at a time, and you'd race and do if you had your, whatever your car was. So I don't know what's going on with Castle Air Force Base, if there's parts of that are still, could be used, but that's what we did. When I was in college, once a month or so. So there's a potential option there.
All right, Jim, thank you. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Fresno City Councilman Luis Chavez about racing, as in automobile racing, in the future, possibly building a raceway, something like that. All of it, you know, with the hopes of getting rid of illegal street racing, which is a whole particular culture of its own. I don't know how one would impact the other. Maybe they would blend, maybe they wouldn't. But let's take a quick breather. We'll come back and wrap it up with Luis. We still have phone calls, a bunch of them. Hang in there. We'll get to you on KMJ. Hey, this is fun. We continue a little bit longer with Councilman Luis Chavez on racing and the idea of getting something together to do it for real in Fresno. Kenny, you're next. What's on your mind? Hi.
Hey, Ray, how are you today? Hey, Luis.
We're good.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, I was just wondering, since Jerry Dyer is now he is the former police chief and the new mayor, maybe he should start thinking about, here's a little bug in his ear, dirt track racing. Maybe get your own little forum going there. So I've seen him quite a few times at the Speedway in Tulare. So maybe that's a possibility. Bring another race to the dirt track community.
Yeah, it's a possibility. I mean, there's so many different types of racing, but I think, you know, what we want to start probably on the, you know, the local citizen side, so people that own these cars can take their cars out and run against each other. I think that's what you're thinking, Luis, right?
Yeah, that's really the theme. And you know, these new performance cars are getting so fast, and you know, it's so tempting, especially if you're, you know, like somebody younger that doesn't have a lot of experience behind the wheel. I mean, you look at a Camaro Super Sport, or, I mean, I drive a Mustang GT. Those cars run 12s in the quarter mile, out of the factory. And, you know, I see some of these young kids with Hellcats out there. Those cars run 10 and a half, quarter mile. Those are fast cars, and
yeah,
if you don't have
scary.
A place to really go and do it safely, then you get the temptation of doing something out in Herndon or Blackstone, and then we have these tragedies that, you know, can be completely avoided. And so that's what we're really going to focus on providing this venue a safe place where folks can go out there and test their cars and, you know, have some fun and make it a family friendly event.
All right, one or two more calls here, and then we'll have to let Luis go. Joe, you're next on KMJ. Welcome. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I just want to say, I'm looking at it from kind of like a different perspective in that, you know, Fresno is centrally located. We can get to L.A. 2.5-3 hours, San Francisco 2.5-3. We can get to Las Vegas in 45 minutes by plane. All those places provide entertainment, and there are those venues that are there. And then for some reason here in Fresno, when it comes to thinking about what places for entertainment we have here, a lot of it has to do with dining, which is great, and maybe just going to the movies. We do not have enough stuff that's here to, you know, to draw people in a safe way, in an entertaining way, family way. And people complain too much. The baseball stadium is a good one, though. You know, but people complain too much about putting the money into something for Fresno and continuing to build, you know, what we are, who we are, so that people want to come here for here's sake, and then going to, you know, Yosemite and things like that. Building something like this is going to, I mean, I think like Luis was saying, it's a multiplier. There's so many other things that can be kind of pulled out of this as a result of putting an investment in for the community. People need to think about that in terms of jobs and in the economic success that can be brought to our city.
I like it. I think that's, you know, why we're exploring this. Luis, any response there?
Yeah, absolutely. He's 100% right. This could be a regional economic multiplier effect that in a good way for the city of Fresno. And I'll give an example. Over the weekend, I'm part of a forum on Facebook called Fresno Car Guys. And if you go on there, you see the pictures. I mean, there were three different events out at, you know, Campus Point, World War Park. And you had easily over 600 cars, performance cars that were out there being showcased. I think this could be a regional attraction, not just for racing, but for car shows in general. I mean, you recall the Autorama and how well attended that was here regionally. And we had people come from all over the state, all over the country to showcase their cars. So there's a lot of potential that we could really leverage here with this opportunity. And I'm hoping that, you know, we're going to get it done here in the next couple of months.
Luis, let me ask you, what's it going to take to get the ball rolling on something like this?
Well, the obviously the conversation has already started. The mayor's on board. I'm supportive. It's going to have to be, you know, obviously building support on the council. There's a petition going around on just to gauge the interest of folks, and I'm going to be putting that on my social media page. And I think the more we can see and show that the city will support something like this, the better chances that it'll have at essentially passing and really engaging in that. So next steps will be to really have a meeting with some of those private sector folks that I mentioned earlier that happen to be car fanatics as well and have an interest in, you know, building this. And heck, if it means we'll name it after somebody that wants to fund it, I'm okay with that. So let's get creative and make it happen.
Yeah, I bet you would be okay with that. Naming rights, big bucks. All right, Luis, thanks for the time today. And I love this one. I hope if there's anything I can do, I don't know what it would be, but just scream. I'd be happy to help out because I'm a car fanatic. I love racing. I love it. So long time we've been waiting for this. I remember when I first started at KMJ back in 87, I was trying to help my pal Jerry Turner get his racetrack up and running. You know, that was 100 years ago, and we still haven't seen anything happen. So we're due. We're overdue, you know? We're overdue.
The Ray Appleton racetrack sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah, but that means I have money. I don't even have enough money to name an empty, you know, toilet paper tube. So after myself, Luis, you take care. We'll talk to you down the road about this, okay?
Thank you, Ray.
All right,
bye.
Be off. That is Luis Chavez on KMJ from the Fresno City Council, and the potential idea finally again. This comes around like every 10 years of racing, automobile racing in the city of Fresno. But where this would start, and I think where it has to start, you know, we've always talked about building a racetrack and going big, and it's always fizzled and failed. From the days with Jerry Turner, and then I did try to do some things with Bud Long on a big track, and it just was never there for the big stuff. But to start small on that type of racetrack where you're racing, you know, with the Christmas tree in the middle and all that, you're racing mano a mano, friend against friend, and keeping it, you know, to the public, that will enhance the whole culture, and I think people would be very supportive of expanding from there. Now, that sounds kind of silly talking in Fresno, California, which has a whole giant racing bloodline. And, I mean, yeah, it's amazing that we don't have a track here because of our relationship to racing over the years. And I could go on forever about that, but I can't. It's time for KMJ News, and with the news report, here's Liz Curran. Interesting conversation with Luis Chavez about racing in town. I would love it. I don't, as a participant, I don't have that kind of car anymore where I could participate against another car for times. You know, times, talent, and take home. Take home always meant money or pink slips. Talent was your girlfriend. Stop, Ray. Unless we got a bunch of Mini Cooper people together, because that's what I'm doing now. I like build up these hot rod Mini Coopers that go 160 miles an hour, and they're fun. But you roll one of those suckers, and good night. You're done. We'll keep an eye on that. Hopefully there's some real belief in doing something like that, because we've had so many false starts, but usually on something very, very big and broad. This needs to start small, happy, friendly. Something I brought up earlier today about Senator Raphael Warnock in Georgia. He's admitted to signing off on false information in third-party advocacy group's email that went out about Georgia's voting law after it passed. Now, the Washington Post flagged an email Warnock signed from this liberal nonprofit action group called 314 Action. You know, and it was flagged as an example of intentional Democratic misinformation about the sweeping Georgia voting reforms. And as it claimed, the new law restricted weekend early voting and ended no-excuse mail voting. Now, the Post is reporting that Senator Warnock was one of two Democratic senators representing Georgia signing an email sent out by this advocacy group called 314 Action, and doing the same thing. It both of them together signing on to this law that had a lot of misinformation in it. Those ideas were considered, but, you know, they didn't make it into the final bill, which actually expands early voting in Georgia, which we know to 17 days, including two Saturdays. How easy can you make it? It also still allows, you know, no-excuse absentee voting, you know, albeit with a shorter window of time to apply, which is 67 days. Now, the statement went out on March the 30th. 5 days later, the governor, Brian Kemp, a Republican, signed the bill into law. Most of this stuff, you know, in fact, this is figured into the recent situation about President Biden and what was he called? Jim Crow on steroids, and the whole thing that got rid of Major League Baseball and moved it on to, you know, Coors Field in Colorado. I mean, it is just stupid. Biden still has four Pinocchios from the Washington Post fact checker for claiming the law limits voting hours. And this is still hurting all kinds of people on the All-Star game. And, you know, but now we find out the two Democratic senators, you know, who we as Republicans tried to keep out of there, were in there, and they signed off on false information in the third-party advocacy group's email that went out about Georgia's voting law after it passed. Why did they do that? Why? To add to the confusion, which was already reigning supreme, were they really of the persuasion themselves that that was the way it was going to be? Or what? I mean, I'm confused at what they were trying to pull off there. But in the process of, you know, working with this advocacy group, it's very liberal, all this other stuff happened, which, you know, constituted the loss of, I forgot how much money we were talking about last week when I was so mad about baseball taking the All-Star game out of Atlanta, you know, and to see that these two senators, you know, had something to do with the disinformation or misinformation campaign, whatever you want to call it, you know, just makes it even crazier. And it makes me even madder, you know. I mean, it was like, if they were aware of it, then all of a sudden, do we have some sort of conspiracy? you know, and what good would it have brought Georgia to have everything happen the way it did when nothing but innocent people are going to be hurt by the lack of business? So, who knows? I mean, it's really a who knows. This has become so confusing. It's you have to scratch your head and just sometimes walk away from it. Say it is what it is, you know? All right. You want to comment on anything today that we've talked about? You know you can do that. 490-5858 and 800-776-5858. And got the phone lines absolutely open here. Oh, that's news about Joe Biden. I don't want to talk about him today. No way. You know, people got sick of, you know, talking about Trump because it was every day, every day, every day. Now it's with Biden, it's like every day there's something else he hasn't done or something else that he should do, but that he won't do. Sad story over in Dubai. I'll just throw this out there as a warning for people who maybe want to go to Dubai, right? There's an American who allegedly, somehow, some way, smoked or ingested pot in Las Vegas, is facing 3 years in the United Arab Emirates after traces of marijuana were found 4 days later in his urine. That's getting picky. And he's now been detained in Dubai. His name is Peter Clark. He's 51. He flew from Vegas to Dubai on February the 24th, right? When he went to the hospital after suffering an attack of pancreatitis. Ah. Doctors found traces of hashish in his urine. Where did he find hashish? You know, that's considered drug possession in the UAE. And they reported him to the authorities. So he was arrested on March the 3rd. He spent 3 days in what he called a flea-ridden cell before being allowed to go back to his hotel, where he awaits his fate. He's there under guard, armed guard. And he recorded a video of the ordeal after getting out of jail, you know. Quote, lost a ton of weight, no shower, no food, nothing to drink since I got here, no sleep. The UAE's arbitrary enforcement of laws and the lack of laws and the lack of a predictable legal outcomes means that Peter potentially faces years in jail for legally smoking marijuana. Even if found innocent, he can be dragged through a slow and costly legal process. That's according to his attorney. Now, he apparently brought no drugs to Dubai, nor consumed or purchased any drugs while he was there. This is stuff he did outside of their country in a very legal space. He's not the first Westerner, though, to go through similar charges. There is a British Army veteran by the name of Andy Neal. He spent more than a year in jail before being released in 2019. Another Brit, Connor Clements, was arrested in Dubai after taking medical marijuana in the UK and then flying to Dubai. And he had the medical card and everything to prove that this was, you know, medicinal treatment of an injury. He's busted and he's not out yet. That's really tough. I mean, when you... We get into a mindset as Americans that if smoking pot is legal in Nevada or legal in California and you can smoke it and it's in your bloodstream or your urine, whatever, for about 3 or 4 days after you've had it, I forget what the time limit is there, and you fly into one of these countries and somehow, some way, you know, they pop you and they want your urine for whatever reason, you could go down and go down hard. So, I mean, how do you fix that? You know, I mean, I guess if you smoke pot, you just don't travel out of the country. That would be the wise thing, because they're certainly not going to fix their laws. Oh, you're an American with a medical marijuana card? Yeah, sure, all right. Enter free, no problem. Right, I don't think so. And though those countries are our allies now, they still have their own laws. And they're going to be real nasty about it and real picky about it. That's scary stuff. Scary, scary. Back to racing, huh? We still got some calls on racing. Michael, who's next? Okay. Mario, you're on KMJ.
Hey, Ray. This is your friendly neighborhood retired Vietnam vet. How you doing today, sir?
Good. What's up?
Well, I come from the L.A. area. Have you heard of Irwindale Raceways?
Sure have. I've been there.
Okay, so have I. How about Lions Drag Strip?
No.
Okay. How about the Pomona Fairgrounds where they have the Winter Nationals?
Oh, yeah, I'm hip to that place. Absolutely.
Okay. What we need, okay, is a drag strip. You know, a place where we can go and pit one car against the other for a quarter mile. That's what we really need.
Yeah, I think that's where it's got to start.
Yeah, that would be a start, you know, and it's a trip. Have you ever gotten a car that's got 1,000 horsepower and gone down drag strip at 200 miles an hour?
Not lately, no.
Hey, Ray, that's all I got to say, and you sound better than Friday.
Well, okay, whatever that means. Thank you, sir. Yeah, it's got to be, you know, mano a mano racing in the very beginning. And then we can expand from there, right? All right, let's take a final break. When we come back, we'll maybe take some calls on the other side of the Ray Appleton program. Skip and Phillip coming up, and then, of course, near the end of the hour, Michael Dermanuel Jr. on KMJ, but me and you next. Stay there. And it'll all be over by this time next Monday. What's he talking about? My heart surgery. It's a week from today, Monday morning. I'm starting to get nervous. But I'm strong. Big brave boy. I'll make it through there. Some more phone calls before we have to blast off. Ron, you're on KMJ talking about racing. We've unhatched a monster here. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you really have unhatched a monster. I'm a third-generation drag racer that was born and raised in Chowchilla.
Yeah.
My grandparents raced all up and down the valley. Yeah, my dad raced at Raisin City, Fresno Dragways back in the day. Actually, Madera Municipal Airport has a drag strip, too, back in the day.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
all the little towns. Yeah, Madera Municipal had them. But there's a place that you're very familiar with that actually has a sanctioned drag racing 8-mile track twice a year, and it's out in South Dos Palos. Eagle Field.
Oh, of course.
Yes. Eagle Field Runway Drags. Put on my Rocky Phillips.
Know it well.
So, yeah. So if you go to Eagle Field, EagleFieldDrags.com, Rocky runs mainly nostalgia drags. But there is a day on the Sunday usually that you can bring your street car out. You can line up at the Christmas tree, grudge race your friends, collect an ET ticket, everything. They're actually looking at extending out the runway to have a better, safer runoff area. They got an eighth of a mile out there now. Actually, Franklin Azevedo out of Las Banas area that's been on Street Outlaws, he's the king of the track out there and the first one to make a four-second pass in the 8th mile out there.
Wow.
So there is a huge drag racing family. And somebody brought up ANRA, American Nostalgia Racing Association. That's ran down there at Famoso 5 times a year by Butch Hedrick, good friend of mine. I print all the T-shirts for his event. But so, you know, there is a huge need for drag racing in this valley. My son started in the Junior Drag Racing League. You can start that at 5 years old now, actually having drag cars. So Jeez. If you get those kids, what I've always told everybody is, everybody always gave me a hard time about how much money I spent on my kid drag racing. I always told them it's cheaper than rehab and cheaper than bail money. So I kept him out of a lot of trouble. There's a lot of it. I actually live over off of Herndon and Hayes, and all night long, you know, you hear street racing going on. And it's just sad to know that we used to have a plethora of drag strips. I'm 51 years old. My dad still drag races at 76 years old. You know, it's sad to know. And it doesn't matter if it's a new car, it's an old car. We all have that bond in drag racing.
Yeah.
It's all family. So we really desperately need something to come back. So Eagle Field Drags is actually at the end of May. So if we can get some support out there, you know, maybe get Luis out there, maybe get some of the other city councilmen to come out there with Luis to check it out and to show them what it's all about. It's like I said, from 5 years old to 80 years old, you're doing the same thing and you're on equal ground. Men, women, the women are drag racers too. There's a bunch of women drag racers. So it knows no race. It knows no gender. It's truly one race for all.
All right. All right. Thank you. At a legal field, I've been long familiar with what they do out there. I mean, that's the last standing Army Air Base, base from World War II. You know, we fly the B-25s and all that. And I was aware that, you know, they're driving the hot rods out there, the older cars, the T's, the modified A buckets and all that. But I didn't realize that you could take your street car, your current car out there and, you know, have some fun. I was totally unaware of that. Learn something every day on this program, don't we? Let's see. I've lost my order. Who's next, Michael? Who? Say the name one more time. Bill? Bill. All right, Bill, you're on KMJ. What's up?
Yes. Wherever we do this at, it has to be in an area that you can do more than just one thing. When Blackie was looking at getting something started in town, the biggest problem he had was the noise level. We need to move that out of the area so we don't have that problem. The second thing is, I don't see why we couldn't come up with a track, a quarter-mile track. You could still put in a dirt track, a sprint car track, and even something for the little guys. You know, you see these little, what do you want to call them? Hell, I don't know what they are, but look like a glorified cart. Okay, and go from there. But anyway, it needs to be multi. I mean, it multi-purpose, because if you don't get the multi-purpose in there, then we're just, you know, you're going to lose somebody. And when you lose somebody, then that's not appealing.
Well, I mean, it's got to be multi-purpose at the end of the day. But in the very beginning, it's got to be just, you know, one against one. I don't know anybody that has that kind of money to dive in and do the whole multi routine in one shot out of their pocket. And I know the city's not going to, you know, pull for that. So, I mean, it just depends how much this thing is wanted, what individuals are willing to kick into it. There's still going to have to be some, you know, public-private cooperation here, naming rights, etc., and build from that. I think I've been involved with so many schemes to build big multi-use racing facilities that have just failed out of the blocks because of a lack of commitment. And I don't want to go through that again, but I think there's a bigger chance of building just, you know, finding a quarter mile and a Christmas tree. And a lot of people know what I mean by saying that. And a couple of guys to begin with that don't like each other that want to take it out on the track. So I think that's how you start with something like this. I got to go. Catch you tomorrow on Tuesday morning, 11 o'clock. All right, Skip and Phillip coming up. Right now, Michael Germanuel Jr., his daily take on the news. You be good. Bye.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.